So, Hare Krishna. Krishna, 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 Krishna. I welcome all of you for this session on our continuing series. We have on the art of real transformation, of permanent transformation. We have been so far done a few amazing exploration of this subject, and today we will go to one very important transformation, the transformation of karma into prema. I want to see before I start, is this all right with the light here, or better without the light? It's okay. Krishna. One other thing before I start. Today, our Vrinda Anuradha has informed us today is the Vyasa Puja day of His Holiness Bhakti Charu Maharaj. I remember Bhakti Charu Maharaj very affectionately because he was one of the devotees in Krishna consciousness who was really a very close friend of mine. He had come in contact with Krishna consciousness in a very particular way. He had gone to study physics in Hamburg, Germany, where he met his old friend Savabhoma, Savabhavana Prabhu, who informed him about Krishna consciousness. So when Bhakti Charu Maharaj returned to India, he brought with him a copy of the Nectar of Devotion. And he read this Nectar of Devotion in a few days. And at the end, he had a dream where Srila Prabhupada appeared to him sitting on a Vyasasan. And he surrendered his life in the dream to Srila Prabhupada. But then, where was Srila Prabhupada? Bhakti Charu Maharaj was at that time, he had returned from Germany to Calcutta, and he had heard that Srila Prabhupada had started an international project called the Mayapur, Sridhar Mayapur, Mayapur Chandra Dayamandir. And he was so determined, he left that same day. He didn't know if Srila Prabhupada was at that time on the project, but he nevertheless, he left, and he told me he went right to the banks of Mother Ganga. He asked a barber to come and shave him up. He took all his old hair with his shirt and his pants, and he made a bundle and threw it in the Ganga, signifying that he would give up his old identification as the son of a film producer, and he would surrender his life to Prabhupada. So he went to the Mayapur Chandra Dayamandir, which was just next to the place where he did this shaving, and he became a simple devotee. He carried big sand sacks like this to build the Mayapur temple, and half a year later met Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada decided to give him first and second initiation immediately, and only half a year later he initiated him in the sacred order of sannyas. Now his older sannyasi disciples, protested. He's just a new man. What if he falls? Prabhupada says, when he falls to the mode of goodness. When you fall to the mode of tamagun. So he indicated that Maharaj had in previous lifetimes, Bhakti Charu Maharaj had in previous lifetimes already reached a very high level, very high level. So today is his auspicious appearance day, and I think if you want more information, also if you want to read his very wonderful autobiography, it's called The Ocean or An Ocean of Mercy. The Ocean of Mercy. You can contact this nice disciple of his, our Vrinda Anuradha. Vrinda Anuradha, and she will send, give you links so that you can see his beautiful lectures. And he has a nicely maintained website which his disciples maintain. He's no longer with us in his physical presence, and on this day, therefore, some of us are very sad. What can be said? He was a real saint, a gem, a unique personality in our movement, one of the treasures of Srila Prabhupada. Good. So, we will now move on to our present seminar. Yes, again I have to request you to please close the window for a short time. We will open it soon again. We have neighbors who don't always chant along because they're busy with other things. Yeah, the best places are still here. Please join me. Namo. We can't hear you. Please join. Namo. Request, please, that we open the windows again. It may be a little cold for you who sit directly at the windows, but please practice the austerity for the benefit of all. We can just briefly just open it really wide, and then we will have, because we are so loud. No,
we are from the seaside.
We are from the seaside. No problem. No problem. Krishna. Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Welcome all of you for this session of the Art of Real Transformation. I would like to give a summary of the last class which we had heard. There we were informed that the repeated instructions of the sadhus are able to transform the vision that the Weltsicht, how you would say in philosophical German language, it changes. It is said, I'm trying to find for you this amazing verse, but I can remember it. I think I have by memory, just like cold goes away when you go to the sacred fire. In the same way, dullness in the mind goes away when you visit sadhus. And just like warmth increases when you come close to the sacred fire, in the same way your spiritual enlightenment increases when you come close to the sadhus. Therefore, Krishna says, an intelligent person should reject all bad association and instead take up the association of saintly devotees whose words cut off the excessive attachment of one's mind. So as I'm talking, I'm aware that I won't be able to satisfy my youngest listener. He has to be satisfied by his mother. So maybe you go and with him and have a or her and have a creative entertainment program. This, thank you very much. We all are attached. The sannyasi is attached to his nice dhoti. The grihastha may be attached to various items in his whole household. We all are attached to eating foodstuffs. We are attached to what we know. We are attached. And these attachments can create a bondage to the material world. But if you take the same attachment that binds you to the material world, if you take the same attachment and bring it to the devotees, you are freed. I would like to say here something at the beginning of my course that I think most of us need to think a little bit more deeper. When we talk about transformation, this was an example of attachment which is transformed, we have a different concept than what you have heard most of the time. Most of the time in Krishna consciousness, we learn or hear about leaving something behind, controlling our mind, control your senses, don't do it. We hear about transcending things and so on. But transformation is about something else than ignoring what is there. In transformation, you take one thing and turn it into another. In transformation, for instance, of a material substance like water, you take the water and you want to now get something new. You don't throw the water away. No, you take the same water, you put it on a flame, and then by the power of the flame, it turns into vapor. So I will now address the thing which devotees don't like to talk about, because it's something everyone has, but everyone likes to ignore it. I will talk about lust. Lust, in one, when you deal with it in one way, you try to ignore that it is there. You try to repress and suppress it. What happens? It comes back with redoubled strength. It's almost like you take like a crazy brother which you don't want the public to see. So you put him in the cellar and you lock the cellar door and he goes the crazy brother. Ah, wah, wah, wah. And you hope that the lock will hold, but after some time the crazy brother breaks the door and comes up the cellar steps and boom goes into the living room and shouts, "Why did you do this to me?" And there he is, and you just have invited your best friend and you wanted to make a good relationship with him, or you wanted to make a business contract, and here he is again, the crazy little brother whom you have locked away. This is what happens in many spiritual movements. No, you ignore, you suppress, and so on. This is not what we are discussing here. I don't know if you have all already woken up. This is a revolutionary concept which is found in our scriptures, but it is often you take the lust, yeah, and you do something with it, and it turns into something else. And in that way, you are free from the problem. Let us look at the Sanskrit word for lust. It is, do you know? Karma, with a long A. Yeah? It is derived from the verbal root kam, the kam dhatu. You know, all the words in Sanskrit have roots from which they grow. Karma grows from kam. Let us, what do you think is the opposite of lust? Yeah, I would say prema, or love of Godhead. It is derived from the verbal root pri, the pri-dhatu. Now, the kam dhatu and the pri-dhatu, that means the origin of lust and the origin of the word love, both have the same meaning, that is priti-vancha, meaning desiring enjoyment or pleasure. In karma, material lust, you enjoy, you want enjoyment or pleasure. That's your object for yourself. In prema or spiritual love, you still desire enjoyment or pleasure, but because it has been treated or transformed, now you want the enjoyment and pleasure of Krishna. You know everything. Krishna is always a good answer. It's generally correct, by the way. So Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami describes this in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila 465. He says, Atmendriya priti vancha tare bali kama, Krishnendriya priti cha tare prema nama. If one desires pleasure for his own senses, that is karma or lust. And the desire to please the senses of Krishna is prema, yes. So desire, my dear devotees, the quality of desiring is always there, either in the impure state where it gives you trouble, or in the pure state where it gives you a connection with Krishna. When I was in Vrindavan a little while, maybe 10 years ago, I gave a lecture. Do we have the microphone, the wireless microphone? And I wanted to describe this powerful concept of taking the same thing and transforming it. And I gave a traditional example of the letter. You know, letter? How do we say letter in this language? No, no. Letter. Letter. Yeah. Listo. Yes, sounds correct. Yes. Listio. 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 Yes? The English word is letter. So, when you stand in the middle of a letter, this is a letter, and I'm standing in the middle. It goes down and it goes up. If I look down and I climb down, that is called karma. If, however, I'm standing on the ladder and I'm looking up to Krishna, I go up. Can you follow? I make it more clear. Sudevi, you look at me with a question mark. I'm in the middle of the ladder. There are now two ways. Listen, or in like in London English, listen up. There are two ways for me to go now. Up or down. It's the same ladder. When I look down, oh, what's down there? What's down there? Then I go down into karma. If, however, I change my vision and I look up to Krishna, the same process of desiring or the same ladder brings me upwards. Could you understand? Yes. Sudevi? Yes. Jorun, you could understand? What does this mean when you feel lusty, Jorun? What can you do to transform? You look up. If you want to transform it, if you look down, yes, you. But we are not interested in the suffering. So you look, when you feel overwhelmed by this quality of desiring, I look, oh, what would be good for Krishna? I bring Krishna into my mind, and as a result, I will experience a very subtle transformation in my heart, which all of a sudden makes me feel, yeah, Krishna, eternality. It's not in my interest to go down and to bring another person down. Do you understand? This is a very important secret. It is expressed, the secret, in a book called Padyavali by Rupa Goswami. Rupa Goswami says, if you want to, some people want to reduce the material desires which overwhelm the heart by putting on saffron. Other people want to overcome lust by sense control, including eating foodstuffs in the mode of goodness. No? Some of you may feel, oh, I would like to eat something tamasic. But no, then you say, no, let me control myself. I don't want to become overwhelmed by these material desires. Some people want to overcome material desires by living alone in solitude. Others want to overcome their material desires by becoming absorbed in powerful explanations of the scriptures. Others observe the vow of silence. Still others go on pilgrimage to all the holy places. Still, they will not be successful in reducing the material desires overwhelming the heart. You see, many spiritual traditions, many spiritual people, many good devotees have tried so hard to fight against material desires because they know from past experience that the taste is in the beginning very, very interesting and passionate, but then it turns always sour and always distressful. No? They know this, and they therefore they say, okay, let me become a brahmachari, dress in saffron. Let me not eat so much. I will never eat again such and such preparation. Let me go alone. I can't be in the temple with so many Matajis or so many Prabhus. It's not for me. I always feel the same images come back. Or they study the scriptures, the powerful explanations. To escape lust, they may observe a vow of silence and never talk again. Or they go to pilgrimage to all holy places, but alas, the crazy brother comes out of the cellar. There it is again. Irrational, demanding attention, destroying everything. No? The verse continues, but when one begins to worship the lotus feet of Govinda Dev, who enjoys with the gopas and gopis on the broad, immaculate banks of the Yamuna, lusty desires are completely rooted out. Maybe not in the beginning. Maybe you have to climb a few more steps. But eventually, if you focus your eyes here to Govinda Dev, then, my dear devotees, you will eventually become free from these deep-rooted material desires. Shri Govinda Deva Ki Jai. There's a very famous verse by Rupa Goswami, which says the same. By the way, Rupa Goswami had an interesting experience. He one day went into the temple of Govinda Dev, Govinda, and he was seeing there was one person standing alone before the deities. He was totally shaved, he had no sikha, and he had the Urdhva Pundra, means three lines over the forehead. He was a Mayavadi. Who? And he was singing songs to Govinda Dev. And Govinda, the deity, Rupa Goswami could see, was leaning forward and enjoying the poetry of the songs very much. Later that day, Rupa Goswami said, Govinda, that was a Mayavadi. He doesn't believe in you, but still you were appreciating his poetry. Do you know what these people say? You have no real form? I don't care, said Govinda. I sometimes like good poesy. And you don't make nice poems for me and sing them to me. So, if you don't want me to hear from a Mayavadi, then you write poetry. So this was the reason why Rupa Goswami wrote his very poetical work Padyavali. Padyavali. And there he wrote, Smeram Bangitaya Pari Chatam Sachi Vishtirna Drishtim Vangsinyastadaraki Shalayamujva Lam Chandrakena. Not so nicely sung. Govindakyam Haritanum Itakeshi Tirtopakante Ma Prakshishtastavayadi. I don't have the right to. Smeram Vangitaya Parichatam Shachi Vishti Nadrishtim Vangsinastarara Kishalam Ujvalam Chandakena Govindakyam Hari Tanamita Keshi Tirtho Parkante Ma Prakshishtastava Yadisake Bandhu Sanghe Sri Ranga. It says, my dear friend, Rupa Goswami talks very confidentially, my dear friend, if you are indeed attached to your worldly friends, do not look at the smiling face of Lord Govinda as he stands on the bank of the Yamuna at Keshi Ghat. He casts sidelong glances. He places his flute to his lips, which seem like newly blossomed twigs. His transcendent body bends in three places and he appears very bright in the moonlight. What is said here is that in the name of saying it's dangerous to look at Govinda, you may lose your material desires. The meaning is actually it's very dangerous to have material desires and not transform them. It's very dangerous to not wander on the banks of the Yamuna. If you don't wander to Vrindavan, you will wander to birth and death in this world. So in this way, Rupa Goswami wrote a nice poem and Govinda heard it and said, acha, acha, acha. He liked very much. No? So yes, my dear devotees, we all know what is material desires. We know how strong material desires are. They can overwhelm the heart. The yogi, in order to not be overcome by material desires, closes all the doors of the senses. He closes his eyes, doesn't see anything. He closes his ear, he doesn't want to hear material sound. He closes his mouth, but at times, lust comes like a storm that blows, that throws open the doors of the senses and enters the heart and blows out the candle flame of transcendental knowledge. Have we not all experienced this? You are in one, everything is very peaceful, and all of a sudden, bang, there it is, a brand new TV. I wish to give innocent examples. And you want, or why TV, the shapely form, wow, of a Samsung telephone, which can fold flat, Z2, no, Z4, you know, and boom, it overwhelms you. I must have this foldable Samsung distraction machine, and so on. It throws open all your resistance. My dear devotees, I'm giving innocent examples to not make you blush, translated into what disturbs you, and you know what I'm talking about. So, in this way, Prabhupada says, due to our lust, we want many things for our sense gratification, but the same lust can be transformed in a purified way so that we want everything for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When you are overwhelmed with these desires, don't stop desiring. This is the mistake the yogis do. They sit down and close all the doors of their senses. No, my dear devotees, transform. Engage your senses in Krishna's service. In the Grihastha ashram, when you all of a sudden feel overwhelmed with these desires, then you should plan with your partner something nice to do for Krishna. You should engage in devotional service for Krishna together, and you will see how the strong fever comes down. Prabhupada spoke about this transformation in this word. Can I read this to you?
Yes.
Good, I will do it. By Krishna consciousness, everything will be transformed into spiritual. Just like the iron rod. Do we have an iron rod? Here is a metal rod. Just like the iron rod. If you put it in the fire, it will get warmer, and then it will get red hot. Then it is no longer fire. Then it is no longer iron. It is fire. Similarly, if we constantly engage all our energy in Krishna consciousness, then even though we have increased the temperature, that will be transformed into 107 degree of spiritual life. Yes, that's the secret of this Krishna consciousness movement. You engage your senses for Krishna. There was once a thief. He was a professional thief. He went with a group of, I will tell another modern story. He lived in Berlin. He was a punk. Do you know what is a punk? Punk rocker? In Slovenia we have experienced. But he was the real thing. You know, he was dressed in black leather. And he liked rats. I remember there was a lecturer, lecture, and I was sitting at the back of the lecture. Now, all the people looked in front, just like you look now towards me. There was a lecturer in this program, and I was sitting in the back where this picture of the 10 avatars is. You see there, and I was translating. The guests had ear plugs in their ears, and we had a running translation. So, just before me was this punk. He was having good hair, good amount of hair, and he was just lying down because maybe he was exhausted from so on. And as he was lying down, two rats just came out of his dress, and they were not beautiful rats. If there are beautiful rats, they were ugly kennel rats, you know, the one who eat little children and so on. They were really ugly rats. So he lived with them. He had them under his dress, you know. He was always with them. Best friends don't part ways so easily, you know. So as I was translating, all of a sudden these two rats came out of his shirt. And I went like, whoa, I have seen many things. I have seen lions. I have seen wild elephants. I have seen small dragons even. But I have not seen rats coming out of the shirt of someone. I was less. And the lecturer, Maharaji, who gave a wonderful lecture, said, "Hey, what happened to the translator?" And I said, "The translator is temporarily paralyzed." he was really an iron rod, this punk. Only half a year later, I went to Singhachalam on pilgrimage, and we had cows there, and I went to the cow barn, and I saw someone who was totally covered with cow stool, but he had very, very fine yellow hair. But his face was also... he had a certain taste, you know, covered. And I asked, Berlin? Punk rock? Lecture? And he said, yes, it's me. What do you want? To talk to you. I have no time. He was tough. No? I have to take care of Gomata. Okay, yeah, do. See me at 8:30. So I visited him, and it was the same punk. And he told me a story. He had come in contact with Krishna consciousness, and he had been a very, very, very engaged sense gratifier. He had been very much involved with the alternative scene and very free ways of expressing material desires or sexual desires. But as he was, he didn't understand much of the lecture, only that he should start chanting. And he had seen us and he said, you all were full of light and I was full of darkness. So I wanted to also get some light. So he was starting to chant because he wanted to become like the devotees. And as he did this, he became free from this great problem of material desires, which had so much brought him. He comes from Australia. He had gone to Berlin. This was the high point in Europe of sense gratification for young people, music and everything else which comes along with this modern music. And yes, his path started. I want to ask you a question which we heard this morning. Who of you wants changes in their lives? Okay, that's most of you. Now I want to ask you a difficult question. Who of you wants to change? That's much less. We all want changes, but we don't want to change. That will not work. There are blocks for our change. One is to think change is not needed. The other is much more in Krishna consciousness there. Change happens automatically. But if you continue to do things that are opposite to what is best, how will change happen automatically? If you do not change habits, how will you be free? Another reason to not change is change is too much painful for me. And I want to address the last. Yes, when we think about giving up lusty activities we become depressed. As long as we don't have something better. As long as we don't have any better engagement for our senses, we will remain attached to our old ways. Therefore, if you want changes in your life, you need to change some of your ways. If you keep on doing the same things and expect different results, there will be no change for you. In our scriptures, we are hearing so many wonderful things, how we should affect transformations in our heart. Maybe the most valuable recommendation is if you come into the association of devotees and learn to chant with them. If you let the sunshine of the holy name cultivate your heart, my dear devotees, your heart will first become it will become different, and then something grows there. Maybe the most important reason why we do not change is the fear of the change. I want to end with a story from the Sufi tradition about fear of change, fear of transformation. Once there was a river. The river was flowing since time immemorial, and it had only one desire, to flow into the ocean. However, there was a huge desert in between, and whatever the river did to cross the desert, it simply sank into the hot sand and was absorbed by the hot sand. One day, so the river comes, then it goes down into the sand and sinks. So one day the wind came and said, "My dear river, where do you want to go? I see you coming with great force and then stopping." The river explained, "I want to go into the ocean." "Oh," said the wind, "I could bring you to the ocean." "Yes," said the river. "Yes, I can bring you to the river, but you have to stop being a river." "What do you mean?" said the river. "My secret," said the wind. The river said, "Kuala Bono." "No, I don't want to." "Okay," said the river, "you try on, I will come back after." "No, okay," said the wind, "try crossing the desert on your own. I will come back after 500 years and see if you are successful." So after 500 years, the wind came back and it looked at the river. The river looked so desperate. It looked so, how do you say, sad, because it had flown since 500 more years and had just been absorbed in the desert. It just sucked up by the hot desert sun. The river said, I'm ready. What do I have to do?" "Yeah," I said, "that the river, you have to stop being a river." "And you mean I will come to the ocean?" "Yes, you will again become a river." "What do you mean?" "I show you," said the wind. And it went in the heart of the desert, where it was as hot as in the hell. And there it returned with a lot of strength. It had become a desert storm. It came to the river and it blew on the river. the river became a cloud in the sky. It evaporated from the earth, and the storm took it, brought it to some mountains at the end of the desert, and there the cloud rained down, became a river again, and flew into the ocean. My dear devotees, we are afraid of this process, but we will all have to give up being a river or being so and so, you know, Mikhailovich, or you know, Mr. Milosevic, Franco Trutman, or ever. Where is our beloved father of the Yugoslavian nation? What was his name? Tito G. Where is he now? No more Tito G. But do you want want Krishna to carry you, or do you want your karma to carry you? If you want Krishna to carry you back home, back to the ocean, then you should engage in his service with all your senses, and slowly transform karma into prema. Karma means all material desires. This whole material world is based on karma. Did you know this? Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita that this world is only a reflection of the eternal spiritual world. It is like a banyan tree who is reflected on a river or a lake, and who has become topsy-turvy. The banyan tree, what was atop, is now on the bottom. So in the same way as a banyan tree gets reflected on a lake, the spiritual world is reflected on the lake of desire, of karma. And therefore, everything is topsy-turvy, or the different way around. You want to set this, you don't want to give pleasure, you want to take pleasure. That's our existential condition. But if we can just engage our mind and our senses in Krishna's service, we will escape the reflection and go into the real banyan tree. What do I suggest to you, my dear devotees? Increase your service attitude. Be more in the fire of Krishna consciousness. And in order to increase your devotion, please also start to worship Krishna. You can worship him here in the temple by bringing gifts to the deities, or you can have a first-class picture of Krishna in your house and offer incense to him and flowers. And by this process, you will turn karma into prema, and then you will have arrived at the perfect place from where you never wish to return. So this is my lecture for today. I hope there was something in it for you, and I want to end a little earlier because I felt I was lecturing so long the other days. Let me see if you have any questions regarding this, and maybe I can give good answers. Ojashvi, is it a question or a comment? Question? That means it has a question mark at the end. Yes, okay. Let us see. Can I interrupt you when it's not a question? Good.
You said that we can change. Thank you at the first place for your lecture. We can change if we see the higher things.
Yes.
We can change, transform karma or lust. But sometimes we are actually surrounded by beautiful gifts from Krishna in our lives, and we don't see them properly. But we search something higher, and we don't see actually that we already have very high things in our lives. So, but when we go to search somewhere else, something.
Yes.
But actually we make more offenses to what we have got in our lives. So how to transform how we experience what we already have in life. Actually we see the higher things.
Thank you very much, Ojashvi, and congratulations. Seriously, this is the first question I heard from you after 30 years. Usually you are very inspired and then you give a comment. A massive round of applause for Ojashvi's question. Dobro, dobro, dobro.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Ojashvi has asked, let us now concentrate please on the question, a very important question, that is, we often go and look elsewhere for perfection and ignore what Krishna has given us. How can we recognize what Krishna has given to us? We need sometimes to develop a different perspective. Just like an artist who, when he is painting a picture, is becoming so close that he loses his oversight, his overview. Just like the artist, it has to step back from his art, piece of art, and then he will see. So in the same way, we sometimes need to step back and look new. When you feel, for instance, that everything becomes so, let us say, so normal, so ordinary, and you lose your appreciation for it, you can step back and you can see, for instance, what I always do is, I was so much in ignorance, and now Prabhupada has given me a process. This process has been practiced in a line of disciplic succession since thousands of years. Great kings like Ambarish and so on, they have given up their kingdom in order to engage in the same processes which are now before me. And as I create, so to say, go a step back and develop a different vision, I can see the thing totally new again, totally new. And I discover things which I may have overlooked when I was too close. So this stepping back or changing the perspective is a very, very nice technique, which best is done, for instance, before you chant Hare Krishna. I sometimes do this when I sit down to chant. I'm thinking, now I can worship Krishna through the chanting of the holy name. And then I become enthusiastic to sing and remain enthusiastic. And do you know what? I forget about time. Totally forget. It's no longer existence. The limitations of material life fall away. So that's a good way which may help you to step back. Which may help you. It's a technique of stepping back, no? Looking with a new perspective. perspective. I'm sorry, I'm thinking too many other things. I have to discipline myself. Thank you. Thank you. Any other question is there? Yes, Prabhuji. What is your good name? Vrishabha. Wonderful.
Hardiksha Maharaj, yesterday we were reading, this morning we were reading from a verse where Srila Prabhupada said in the comments about Dhritarashtra that one should associate with sadhus only and reject all other kinds of association. So I was just thinking, can you comment on what Srila Prabhupada means by sadhus only? And I mean, how much sadhus can we find around us?
Yes. Of this,
I have such a clear eyes, though.
Yes. Wonderful question, of such a high caliber, no? This is not an injunction to not go out shopping, for instance, where you are with many people who may not be sadhus. And what it means is intimate association, where you learn, should be done with sadhus. Where can you find such sadhus? This question which Vrishabha has asked is not a critical question, it's a realistic question. Where are the sadhus that walk over the planet that really can inspire us? When we just see them, that we become reminded of Krishna, like our Bhakti Charu Maharaj, for instance. And how often can we have contact with them? This is a question. Jagadananda Pandit, a dear and near associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, speaks about this. He was very close to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he said to give association, devotional association, the best of sadhus, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has appeared. I believe very strongly that you can have association, and you should look for the association of these great personalities like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He embodies the sadhuness, the highest quality of sadhuness. He came as a devotee, no? To play the role of a devotee. And we can hear about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we can think about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and we can meditate about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I was for a long time giving every maybe once a month, a Gaura Leela Katha, because I had understood that the best way to get a higher association is to think of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But then I was not satisfied and turned the Gaura Katha into a Gaura meditation, where I guided my audience into closing their eyes and bringing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu into their heart, and as a result feel his divine presence. You can also have association through with high class sadhus in the form listening to them. And if you are very advanced, you can serve the devotees around you, and all of a sudden don't see their mistakes any longer, but see their spiritual sadhu qualities. This requires a very high form of advancement. Because when we look at devotees in one mentality, we see their mistakes. We let us remember, the things are not the way you see them. The things is you see the things the way you are. So I admit, when we are together with devotees and we see, well, they don't read the books, they don't, the devotees are quarreling amongst themselves, they throw apples at each other, well, that they do somewhere else, not in Ljubljana, and so on. There are all these things, but when you are highly advanced, you don't see these things. You see, well, although they have all these qualities, they're trying to surrender to Krishna. I can learn from this. But that requires a total perspective change. So I recommend, really, have association of the high-class Vaishnavas first by reading their scriptures, by listening to their lectures, and by focusing on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishna. It took me a long time to understand that the world is not what I see. The world is how I see the world, how I am. I needed 50 years to understand this. And sometimes I fall out of this. You know, I cannot understand this. I cannot experience it. It's a high vision. It's called the you know, in philosophy you call this the Uttama Adhikari. He sees everyone serves Krishna. He doesn't see their mistakes. Krishna himself, listen to this, has no place in his heart for the mistakes of his devotees. It means he doesn't see them. You mean when someone cleans his nose before the altar, Krishna doesn't see it, but that his finger is in the nose? I think he sees that your finger is in the nose. But Krishna will think, oh, he has some itching in the nose, which needs to be taken care of. He does not see the amount of of no culture in you. He doesn't have a place in the heart. Means perhaps more that he may see, but he doesn't judge that. He doesn't count this as special. But still, when you have association with an ignorant bhakta who's really heavy, you respect him from the distance. You don't come too close because he may say heavy Slovenian words to you. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Has someone else a question here? There.
Mike.
Yes, Deepak, is it? Yes, Deepak has it.
Mm-hmm. I just give the example of the wind asking the river to become a cloud. So the river had to make a very drastic change. So how do we understand what change we need to make, and does it also have to be so drastic?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Thank you. This story is not so clear. It has to be gradual. But then there comes a time which you have reached by your gradual development, when it's just so obvious to you that you can't go on the way you have gone on, and then you might make a certain change. But first you need to come to that platform where your mind and heart is purified enough so that you can jump. When the mind and heart is still so full of other things, it's not possible to jump. The weight which you have accumulated will pull you down. But if you have gradually given away weight and you're purified, and then it works. And most properly, no, in most cases, this happens very gradually. There are many, many examples of devotees who have come, have purified themselves, and then the time of death came. And at the time of death, they were able to jump. They were able to throw themselves into the arms of Krishna as their only shelter. I saw this with one Mataji. She was a mother of a child, and she had an ordinary life in Australia when she was diagnosed to have cancer. At that time, she could not walk any longer, she asked to participate in the Govardhan retreat. So in the lectures which Bhuijan Prabhu and myself gave, and in the kirtans, we were still having these retreats under the trees of Girihiraj. We brought a mattress, and she was staying on her mattress. She was lying. She was 2 weeks. She was weeks before her departure, and she listened about to these readings from scripture and to these lectures. And then, when the Govardhan retreats were over, she was brought by jeep to Vrindavan, and she then went to the house. And at that time, Aindra Prabhu came every evening with his kirtan party, and they were singing kirtan. And when the final moment came for this Mataji, she said, "I see only Krishna, I see Vrindavan. Please take me, my Lord," and chup, gave up her body. Wow! She could jump because she had done the gradual process of purification. Then she had enough faith to throw herself into the arms of the Lord. I remember this lady was a friend of Jagatarini Mataji. And she has a son called Ananda Tirtha. The night is young. What should we do? You have one question, yes. We have a microphone for you.
Usually when we think about lust and material desires, we think about these gross material desires, which are in one way not so difficult to throw away maybe it's more dangerous for older devotees, these subtle material desires. They're more like tricky ones. Could you give us some tips how to recognize and how to avoid this? Because, yeah.
Yes, the desire for fame.
Fame, name, glory.
Or you could call it outside validation. That has become so, so important for many of us. Is more tricky, and it is said this is the manifestation of lust, of the gross thing. Once Ram was asked, what is the validation, no, what is the sign of lust? And he says, when someone punishes a subordinate unjustly, when someone talks like this, then it's a manifestation of material desires. It's an interesting point. So yes, these can be very tricky, these fine desires. They can be very, very tricky, especially the in our civilization, this desire to be validated by others is very strong. The internet culture, you know, where you want to have likes on Facebook, is very, very difficult. I always tell myself, what do I want in this life? I'm only here, I'm a short guest on planet Earth. What do I want? And my mind always turns to the thing, I want to be with Krishna. And when you have the higher desire, then the tricky ones are leaving you. But yes, they are very tricky, these material desires. And they are very hard-rooted. There is a story I want to tell you. There was a very devoted wife, and her husband was a businessman and only was interested in business, money. So she thought, my husband is old. This heart should become free from this desire to become rich, and so on. So next time a sadhu came, she called the sadhu and said, can you please cure my husband of material desires? And the sadhu said, well, I can invite him to come along and go on pilgrimage. I'm just going to the Ganga and the Himalayas and Navadvip and Vrindavan. Oh yes, said the wife, good arrangement. So after 1 year, the sadhu came back with the husband and said, I can't change him. He is unchangeable. Oh, said the wife, please, is there not one thing you can do? Okay, said the sadhu, I try one last thing. I take him to Varanasi, to the burning Ghats. So he went with the husband to the burning Ghats, where they carry people to be burned. I have been there, and they call Shri Rama Nama Satya He. Only the name of Ram is truth. That's what they chant while they bring the father or the uncle or the brother body to the burning Ghats. So the sadhu was sitting with this man, and he. And they watched how dead person after dead person was burned. And finally, the sadhu saw in the some tears forming in the eyes of the man. And he thought, Bhogya, everything is done. He is moved. He has seen that the world is miserable and the end result of the world is your body turns into ashes, you're burned. So he asked the sadhu asked the man, oh, you feel some emotion, some spiritual purification? The man said, no. He said, what? I should have done business with wood. Everyone needs wood at the end of life. they need to, this is the business to make. I could have become a multimillionaire. I tried to make business with so many things. Cloth. But wood is the item I should have invested in. So sometimes our desires, especially the subtle ones, are as persistent. They continue as this one. And therefore, I think the first thing is you need to come in good association, Manditangi, where the association acts as a mirror, and then just like with a mirror, which shows you things which you cannot see. For instance, then you have a mirror here, you can put a mirror in the back, then you can see for the first time your back. If you are interested. A mirror can show you things which you cannot see without help. So in the association of devotees, usually if you are not as hard-hearted as this woodman, then you can see very much where your subtle things are, because you see a better example than yourself. And yet, then you can... that you asked yourself, why do I cling to these material desires which make me rotate in the cycle of birth and death? Why not become serve Krishna? And why not hear more about Krishna? There's another world going on outside. Krishna, Krishna. We go now very soon to Vrindavan, my dear devotees. I have a ticket to Vrindavan. I can't believe it. And I have a visa. So I will go to Vrindavan, if Radharani allows. And then... I will come, a man from the West who was preaching for a whole year, who was traveling, and I will again see all the sadhus there who only think about Krishna, what Krishna does, what Krishna said here and there. And I will feel very small in their association. I will think, yes, yes, I try to be Krishna conscious in doing my service, and I give lectures and I prepare my lectures. I try my best. But it's so exhausting, such hard work. Please tell me about Krishna. Then the merciful sadhus will take me by the hand. They will say, sit down. And then they will, if they are kind enough, share what they think. And I will know, yes, this is important. This is my desire. So I request all your blessings for this journey. I want to say tomorrow, on Sunday morning, I will give a lecture called The Community of Bhakti. That is, you know, we are sometimes afraid of transformation and inner change, but if we have support of others, it's much easier. Don't you feel so? When you have support of others, you do things you never thought were possible. You think thoughts you never thought you were able to think. And I have been in a lecture about the community of love, and I have thought more about it and developed some more thoughts, and I would like to talk tomorrow is Sunday, no? So fast the week is going. So there I will talk about the community of love, which will, or the community of bhakti, in which we get the support and strength to be bold enough and risk-taking enough. My dear devotees, yes, I know ships are safest in the harbor, but that's what then, for this they were not built. In the same way, you may think you are safest in your comfort zone, but for this you were not built. You are a child of eternity. You belong to Krishna, and Krishna wants you more than you can imagine. So please be not afraid to leave the harbor of your habits, where the water is already so old and smells so strong, and go enter the ocean for sailing. I will leave you with a question today. My question to you is, what is the one thing you already know you should be doing because it will improve your life so much, but somehow you don't do the thing? What is this one thing you already know you should be doing? And then you might find interesting answers to this. We all know deep in our hearts, in the hearts which yearn for Krishna, which long for Krishna, what would be in our deepest interest. We know very much. The soul knows. So connect with that and you will find a lot of strength. Let us sing for 5 more minutes and then we will end the lecture. Yes. Hare Krishna. We have learned a new raga. My dear devotees, I wish you, I recommend you, you sit straight and maybe you turn to the altar for this and you please use, every one of us likes music, no? But we want to now make our kirtan into something where we climb the ladder of desire and like upwards to Krishna. We will sing for Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare
Hare Krishna.
Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare.